Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we like to kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Former Congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, joins us. And, Bob, I know that you've been to France. I know you've been to Paris. And it's just so sad to see what's happened there. And it's very, very scary. It was, to me, it looked methodical, as though they knew exactly what they were doing. Did it seem that way to you?
Oh, it was, yes, it was just planned out to the T. I mean, they walked in, they knew to ask for the names, they had a lady and they had a small child they threatened to kill. The editorial board meeting was going on, so everybody they wanted was in, you know, in that location, which was, you know, I think well planned. They must have had ideas of when they met. And then they came out into the street, their escape route, everything. And now they've gotten to the point where they got to a gas station. Now, there's been a separate killing of a French policewoman in south of France, which they don't know yet. They know it's a terrorist attack. They just don't know if it's the same ones. But they found a third person, an 18-year-old guy that actually turned himself in because he heard his name bandied about. He may have given them information on these two brothers that we now know are on the run. So it seemed well planned out. Don't know if it came from the motherland of the terrorists telling them to do it. But we know that, you know, they proclaimed slogans that it was sort of revenge for the prophet, the caricatures on Muhammad.
Yeah, boy, it's all still unfolding now, and it makes you think, you know, as we talk about, and this became a big topic on America Tonight, what about here in the United States? So as you look at that and then you see what's going on and what do we offer, hey, friendship, we'll do whatever we can to help you, all that kind of stuff. What do you think? I mean, you were there in Congress. What do you think we need to do as far as terrorism is concerned? Because it's elusive.
I think we need to do what we're doing now. But unfortunately, I read the comments of Senator Corker, Republican senator, and Lindsey Graham, and they're saying, well, you know, we just really need to beef up the NSA and not, you know, bind the hands of our intelligence agencies. And that seems to be a shallow reason to use a crisis to say, you know, what the NSA does is correct. And those types of broad statements, I don't think, are towards the solution. And we have to have good intelligence and continue to try to utilize that. But just saying that they need to tape more people, I don't think is, you know, is the answer. So if they really want to do something, need to work with the White House to make sure that we're doing appropriate, you know, intelligence work. And just keep with the new world. It's not a
yeah.
good place.
Yeah, keep with the new world. No kidding. The you know, looking at Congress, speaking of Congress, and now what's happened with John Boehner, what do you think? We talked about this the other day. What do you think's going on in the Republican Party? You know, are they strategizing, not strategizing, being pulled apart in different directions? Are there too many factions? What is it?
Well, I think that the problem the Republicans have is, you know, they have to actually, I hate to say this, people are going to laugh at this, but go back to a kind of a contract with America.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the sense that Newt Gingrich had a game plan, and he had a 10-point plan, and it was well thought out. What do they do today? They throw right first out of the box. They're going to change the, you know, the 30-hour work week to a 40-hour work week in Obamacare. They're going to throw a ton of people out of insurance, actually throw them on the exchange. So they're just kind of haphazard, you know, doing things. Now, in another sense, though, Kate, I think if President Obama can kind of pull a page out of the Bill Clinton, you know, playbook with Newt Gingrich when he was president,
yeah,
if the president can utilize this haphazard problem that the Republicans have and the way they're conducting themselves, and Boehner's got this internal problem. Does he persecute these members or doesn't he? His staff wants him to. He doesn't want to. So possibly this upheaval and lack of coordination by the Republicans in the House, at least, McConnell seems to have it more together in the Senate, I think can be seized for Obama to actually do some good public policy pieces.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, again, we'll see where this all goes because we're just dipping our toe into it, but some
sure.
great suggestions for sure. The Keystone XL pipeline, you know, there's a bipartisan group of senators that are trying to come up with a strategy to, you know, push this legislation so it'll be supported and it could pass any veto threat by the president. Do you think they'll succeed?
they're going to succeed to get Democratic votes, you know, Joe Manchin and a few of the senators that have some conservative, you know, leanings on this issue. I really highly doubt, though, after it's vetoed, which it will be, that they can override. I just don't see where they're going to get the votes from on the Democratic side to override the president. I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Mm-hmm. All right, Bob Nay, Talk Radio News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
To you again.
Thank you, Kate.
So talking at the top there, you know, with Bob Nay about what's happened in Paris and the fact that now we know that one of the suspects traveled to the Yemen terror camp, and we talked about that in our last show, actually, talking about what we knew about those terror camps since 2011 in our conversations with Jeff Atticott, how awful it was there and how many people were coming from other places to be trained. So now Saeed and Sharif Karachi still being hunted down but not found yet at this juncture. I mean, you know, they're swarming a forest area. They said it's larger than Paris. They got word that somebody thought they were in this forest. And there's a lot of fear, especially in Europe, over these attacks in the wake of this Paris shooting as to what's going to happen next. And throughout the show, of course, we'll be talking about that. The U.S. policy to fight jihad, is it strong enough? Are we doing the right things? And is there something that we could do better? It's like that argument over Gitmo and closing Guantanamo. Remember, that was one of the president's big pushes. And, of course, that's kind of been pushed aside, if you will, for now. And the idea of bringing the people that are at Gitmo to the United States and putting them in some kind of prison. Now it seems like an even worse idea, although I was never on board with that ever. I thought Guantanamo was the perfect place. And as you can see, there are so many people that are terror suspects that are militarily being tried now, and others that have been rejected from their own home countries, pretty much telling you how they feel about them and not wanting them back, which I think is the biggest red flag probably of all. So again, throughout this show, if you want to throw in your two cents, do you feel like we're safe in this country? What is the policy as far as fighting jihad? Is it tough enough? Do we go far enough? Do we not, do we go too far? Is there anyone that thinks that we pegged the needle in the absolute wrong direction? I'm going to throw out the digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. We'll be talking about some other things, too, as well, not just the Al-Qaeda link to this terror attack in Spain, but also crazy rumors about Fidel Castro. Now that we're holding hands with Cuba in a sense, although I don't think Congress is going to lift that embargo, it's where is Fidel? I mean, we've been down this road before of Fidel and Raul Castro. The pictures that were released of him a couple of years ago after he had been sick for a while, now he hasn't been seen in public for at least a year. So go figure. Do you think it's a ploy and that he's really not alive? I mean, remember, this guy is a dictator, and he had had a stranglehold on Cuba for so many years. I mean, 50 years of hostility between the U.S. and Cuba, and now suddenly all of this is going away, or is it just smoke and mirrors? But we don't know about Fidel Castro, and certainly we know his health is frail, but is he still alive? That rumor now is pumping and going out all over the place. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Tonight, yo yo, thanks for hanging with us. The big fat details, as I promised, we maneuver our way through this hour. We do know this for sure. The police are searching that area, the northern French countryside. It's about 55 miles, to give you a reference point, northeast of Paris. And they've also set up, which is, of course, is smart to do, they've set up these checkpoints because naturally, they may be able to come across them somehow, stumble onto them, see a car flip around, whatever it might be. They've got checkpoints in multiple directions. They've got helicopters, convoys, of course, all over the area. There was some activity around the gas station, and this is where somebody thought they saw the suspects, as I briefly mentioned before, fleeing into the woods. There was some attendant that said they stole gas and food. It's not confirmed, but it was one of the many leads that they checked down, which I think is what led them in that direction in the first place. So, you know, still the world is kind of reeling and grasping what happened, that at 11:30 in the morning on Wednesday, a car pulls up outside Charlie Hebdo office in Paris's 11th district, that's what they call it, not far from Notre Dame. Two people jump out. They're dressed in black. They carry an automatic weapon. They have a bunch of them, and they have their faces covered. They ask a bunch of maintenance men where the MAG office was, and then they open fire, killing one of the workers. One of the workers was killed, too, in this. They get into the second floor. They go to the newsroom. They open fire, kill 10 people. It's the staff of the satirical magazine. It's published weekly. It's a weekly deal in Paris. And it was just a simple lunchtime editorial meeting when they jumped in there. So Hebdo's editor and a police officer who was in charge of protecting him were among the people that were killed. They left the building. I'm sure you've seen some of these images. Jump out with a third suspect. Start to get in a firefight with police. A second police officer is shot, killed. And then we've got video floating around all over the place from that attack with the two guys leaving their car, approaching a guy who looks like an officer lying on the ground, and then they open fire. I mean, just so outrageous, just assassinating people. And then they carjacked another car to get away. And what they don't really know and they're really looking into is some more of the specifics of the office. You know, the fact that the gunman asked for specific people by name before killing them is what it sounded like. And this is some of the information that's coming back now because of a doctor who helped the patients, who was helping the wounded patients, and spoke with some survivors because there were people that were wounded and survived that. And apparently they divided the men from the women before they opened fire. And it was the shooting wasn't a random spray of bullets, but a execution. So it seemed very organized. And the fact that, I was, you know, pretty much everyone in that room was killed. That's what happened. They were all killed. And they're looking for links between Al-Qaeda, which they found one, and they're looking for other information on Syed and Sharif Karachi. They know, obviously, through the databases that they've been run through. Both brothers were in our database of suspected international terrorists, and they had been on the no-fly list for years. So how is this possible? In fact, Sharif was convicted in 2008 of being part of a jihadist recruitment ring in Paris that actually sent people to Iraq, sent fighters to Iraq. And not as much as known of the other brother, Syed, but they're seeing if they can link him to any of these training camps in Yemen and whatnot. They know that he traveled to Yemen in 2011, and so Al-Qaeda is obviously training there, and they believe that's where he got weapons and all the other possibility of links to this magazine and whatever else. And then it's unclear, more specifics, that one of the brothers might have traveled to Syria sometime in the past year, but they both returned from Syria in the summer for sure. And then the third suspect we already know, Hamid Murad, turned himself into the police on Wednesday. And he saw his name on social media, and I guess he freaked out and decided to turn himself in. But, there's such a difference. When you look at lone wolf attacks and randomly spraying bullets and selecting maybe a target, but then taking others out in the meantime, this didn't seem to be it because, as I mentioned, separating the men from the women and then just summarily executing them very fast, but wanting to know their names. So they knew about these people. Clearly they knew about these people, not just the editor, not just the cartoonist. They knew much more than that. They were well-trained, is the way it's been described to me by somebody at the Pentagon, obviously, saying you can just see a couple of the moves they made even on video, and you know that they had a mission, and they seemed to be good marksmen. So can you imagine still hunting down these two men? And the victims, seven journalists were killed in this, including some very well-known cartoonists. Georges Walensky is one who his name was under Walensky. You may have even seen some of his cartoons because some of them were worldwide. And Kabu also is another one. Just unbelievable. A maintenance man, I mentioned that. Two cops also died in this. And you do think, okay, so you see this, and what is the motive? And the motive, what they said during the attack was Allah Akbar. We've heard that before, certainly. And they say they were avenging the Prophet Muhammad because of the history they have of the controversial, depicting Muhammad in different lights and unfavorable lights. So they had early cartoons that showed him in various positions pornographic positions, and there were, they burned the magazine's office 3 years ago because of that. And in the last tweet before the attack, there was a cartoon of ISIS leader Abu al-Baghdadi saying the words, "and above all health." So it's unclear whether they had ties to Baghdadi, ties to someone big in Al-Qaeda, whatever it is. It just seems as though from the Yemen, from all the Yemen information that we have. And so the FBI and U.S. intelligence, all of our U.S. intelligence sources are trying to map out all the relationships for whatever they can find, digital records, all that kind of stuff. They're running through names through databases, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all of that. That's what, of course, they would do. I mean, that's the strategy. Nail down who they're tied to, what the motive was. We know the motive was related to the fact of the satirical cartoons, but is there, you know, something more here? Is there something else that they're possibly missing in all of this? So I think our government, with some of the great people that we have work at the CIA that are excellent at this, especially forensically and looking at different clues, I think that, you know, this is a good thing that they're able to, that they're able to lean on us for that. But it doesn't bring, you know, it just doesn't bring the people back. You know, it's crazy. And then I read a story by Pete Bergen, who I think is such a great, and we've had him on the show. He's a good writer, and he's such a terror expert. He really has his pulse on some of the things that have happened, and he is he's the author of a book called The Manhunt, The 10-Year Search for Bin Laden from 9/11 to Abbottabad. I read that book. It's great, and like I said, we've had Pete on a couple of times, and he says that over the past 4 years, a couple of American citizens have been convicted, as we know, in plots to murder cartoonists, European-based cartoonists who they thought had insulted Islam, and a couple of other Americans convicted of inciting violent attacks against cartoonists in the States who they thought insulted the Prophet Muhammad. And remember, there's a cartoonist in Seattle that pretty much went into hiding after one of the cartoons sparked interest, and the FBI contacted the cartoonist and said, you know, you've got to go underground, you got to do something, because we're hearing terrible chatter here. And I keep saying the same thing. Wow, it's just hard to believe we live in this world where cartoonists are in this situation, killing cartoonists. Unbelievable. And think of some of the satirical work we have in this country and how dangerous that could be for some people. I mean, would you actually shut down what they're doing for fear of being assassinated? 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Call now and you'll get to talk to us here on America Tonight. See you on the flip side.
Pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com. Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Yeah.
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Music is a word within itself. There's a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. But just because a record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away it's got to A when the people start to move.
On America Tonight, going to talk about Fidel Castro, throwing a few other nuggets for you too as well. I got this one from Paul who says, man, unbelievable. Did you hear that 88,000 is the number I heard are hunting for those Paris killers? They are serious. They want those brothers, and I think they're going to get them. It's just a question of combing through maybe the woods based on that whole gas station sighting, if that was accurate. Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, they think they saw, well, they know that somebody came, took the gas, that took some food, and they certainly have been pumping out descriptions and whatnot. So it seems as though this is the two that they're looking for, but until they get the jihadists, until they have them in custody, you know, who knows? And how do these known jihadists on the no-fly list, everything in the United States saying, you know, no way, you would immediately apprehend them. How do they slip through the cracks like that? I mean, obviously you cannot be glue and you can't be everywhere. We know that. There's no 100%. But I'll tell you, the one thing it really, really, really points out is the need for more checks and balances when it comes to passports. And if we have people that are leaving and they want to join up with ISIS and they want to snub the United States and they want to go kill and murder people or plot attempts in the United States, then get out of the country and never come back, because we'll slap you on our list, and that's what needs to happen. That list needs to be as thorough as possible. That list where we've made fun of it because there's been small children on it and other ridiculous things that have happened, but it really, really needs to be 100% as solid as possible. Then you can catch people like Saeed and Sharif. Of course, they weren't coming into the United States. We had them on our system, but obviously they were able to come back and forth in Paris. So how is that? They say, with their intelligence research over there, it's because you're not permanently under surveillance, that it's impossible to know every move. And even if they know of the history, including, Sharif had been jailed for sending fighters to Iraq, and his name cropped up in a failed attempt to break out of a prison in 2010. I mean, that's a pretty dubious past, I would say. And now he's part of the bloody attack on that newspaper. I mean, he was a known radical Islamist with 15 criminal convictions. He'd gotten on planes and come back and forth to France. He traveled to Pakistan. He went to Afghanistan. And they now, with their backs against the wall, what they're saying is they were being monitored, perhaps, but if there's no threat of an attack, they can't be monitored indefinitely. But how could they not stop them with their passport? They're part of this pool, and they were able to come in and out in France, into Paris. By the way, the Eiffel Tower went dark for a while to honor the people. It's part of that Je suis Charlie, the Charlie Hebdo, the people of the magazine / newspaper that were lost in that attack, and those that are there. They have a circulation of about 30,000, they say. They're going to make 1 million copies of their next issue because the requests and demands are just that high. So the two suspects were on our no-fly list, but they were able to go in and out easily in their home country with nobody batting an eye, following them, watching what they were doing. None of that. Wow. I mentioned the Seattle cartoonist, and the Seattle cartoonist was actually pretty popular. And to give you a little sense of that story that rounds it out for you in case you've forgotten, I remember talking about this. I was on the air doing America Tonight. Molly Norris, her name is. And she set up this. She did a column on it. She talked about Everybody Draw Muhammad Day. So she launched this effort. She drew a poster that had the prophet as a teacup, a box of pasta, and a domino. And her idea was that if Americans drew the prophet on that day, it would help dilute the potential targets for the enraged Islamist militants. So it became huge. The poster went viral. Facebook groups sprang up. Tens of thousands of people supported Everyone Draw Muhammad Day. There were people drawing. They were doing, everything they could to participate in it. And she got spooked by all of that, and she started kind of pulling back from it. And she wrote on her website that she backed off being associated with any group because she was too freaked out. And what ended up happening is what I mentioned, that the FBI contacted her. It was too shaky for her. So she went underground permanently because of the threats from Al-Qaeda. So she wiped out her identity. She moved, changed her name. That's it. She went ghost, as they call it. She went ghost because the top people, the top specialists at the FBI, told her it was too dangerous that that's what she had to do. Wow. How about that? Unbelievable. As I say about the cartoon world, where everything should be fair game. I mean, you know, equal opportunity. It's not directed at the Prophet Muhammad, as I mentioned before. Yes, they had certainly done those kinds of things, but that wasn't the primary target. There were heads of state that were more lampooned in Charlie Hebdo than anything else, probably. Wow. So what about another cartoonist? I happened to catch this as I was perusing around. It was a cartoonist who was reacting to, you know, the idea of what happened and, you know, how can this be, looking at a fellow cartoonist finding himself in, you know, this situation. And I looked and tried to see what I could, if I could find any other reactions, by the way, from other cartoonists. And there have been a lot of people are coming out and certainly and talking about it. And this was one, this is from a cartoonist who is actually pretty well known, Ramirez. And he was on one of the shows he was on, I want to say the Fox show. And here's what he had to say during the interview.
The world ought to be outraged. Frankly, this despicable act of cowardice by these terrorists is not just an attack on these cartoonists. It's an attack on freedom and liberty against all freedom-loving people around the world. And whether you agree with these cartoons or not is immaterial. You know, France has got a rich tradition of satire that goes back to Voltaire in the 1700s and Henri Daumier in the 1800s. This right to express your beliefs, this freedom of expression, is a universal right that all people around the world ought to have. And frankly, you shouldn't be killed for it.
Yeah, and I would echo that sentiment of Michael Ramirez. Frankly, you shouldn't be killed for it. I find it just so unbelievably outrageous that that's happened. And it is an art form, and you heard him talk about it. And, boy, it is pretty creepy scary that has happened now. And there have been the Danish cartoonist that was threatened, and now, well, of course, what has happened in Paris. So I mentioned Fidel Castro jumping to another country, and I promise we will talk about Fidel Castro here on the show. But it's pretty uneasy times in Europe. I think they would like to have their passport stamped, some of them, and go to Cuba and maybe search for Castro. Jack, what's happening? Jack down under.
Hello, Kate. Look, I used to live in Europe, and with the EU system, if you're an EU citizen, you can travel from any country in the European Union, and not get stopped at sovereign borders. So it makes it very easy for these guys to move around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I lived in Europe too. I lived in Spain, and it was easier for somebody who lived there to move around than it was as an American with a passport. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you know, the amount of people that travel on things like the old Orient Express route and so on, I mean, you travel through some, you know, there's some pretty dodgy countries and easy. Some countries are better at applying the no-fly rule than others. So it doesn't surprise me that these guys have been able to travel in and out of Europe so easily to get the training. And having seen a lot of the video now, I don't think any of these guys were virgins when it came to killing.
Especially
that guy that walked up to that police officer who was already wounded. I mean, it was obvious that was not the first person he'd killed.
No. How sad is that, too? I mean, look, you already hit the guy. What can he identify? You're all over video, and you go and just add insult to injury. Why not? We'll just pop him off, too. So there was obviously no concern for who they were hitting, although they didn't spray bullets all over the place.
Oh, no. They had a list of
agenda.
Targets they wanted to hit.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's no question they had a list. Jack, thanks for throwing in your 2 cents here. But Jack said he lived in Europe, and he said, oh, for example, on the Orient Express, and so, as he called it, dodgy places. And you're free to go in Rome, and nobody's going to stop you, unlike the fly list we have. Although I think we also have a big, big, big hole in the system. Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done coming up next on America Tonight.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Hour of America tonight. A lot of focus on what's happening in Paris. So many looking for the two brothers who were part of that execution-style jihadist killing in Paris that has a lot of people on edge in Europe. But not just in Europe. I think around the world the conversation is centered around that, around what happened there and what are the checks and balances and what are we doing as far as our safety and our security here in the United States. And I've said this before, and we know it. I was in New York City when 9/11 happened, for goodness sake, and ripped my soul out and everybody around me. The day before, riding on a train, looking over and noticing the World Trade Centers and going to work like any other day. And the next day, all chaos and conversations about, wow, are there more planes? What's happening? The whole thing, where as it unfolds, you're trying to make sense of it, but there is no way to make sense of it. Certainly, this is not honoring Allah. That doesn't make a connection to me of, okay, this is your God, but you are wiping out humanity. No. There's no conversation in that. There's no defending. There's no anything. It's just barbaric. And I think it's an excuse for other things. You know, and that's part of the problem, not to continue to drill down that road. But, you know, ultimately, what is the key to this? And some have said, well, the key to it is, look at the people who are being recruited. It's to offer the disenfranchised, the people who are loners, the people who feel like they were discarded, meaning the young men, to give them something to hang on to so they're not easily recruitable and willing to blow themselves up or to go and become assassins, and maybe they live, maybe they don't. And I think that is a very tall, tall task, my friends. All right, we got to lighten the load a little bit, so to speak. And I do a cool thing, thanks to our Nathan Reeder, called Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done. So let's head to Dumb Things.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
I just shot myself.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
I'm dumb.
So the first one up is Nash, listening to us in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Kate, really enjoy the show. I love it when I hear you mention Sarasota, because you really do have a big fan club swelling here. And I heard you mention about rowing, and it's obvious that you've spent some time on the water, and I think you even said something about sailing once. So you'll enjoy this story. It's a sad tale, my friend. However, I went out in my Sunfish. My dream is to just keep graduating to bigger vessels and really learn how to sail. And I thought it was a piece of cake. I had the whole tacking thing down and all of that. Somehow, and I don't know how it happened, I had the ropes all discombobulated. Next thing you know, I was tied up in the ropes. Next thing you know, the boat is sideways and I'm calling for help. And here I am in this little dinghy Sunfish. So two young girls were in a speedboat and they came to my rescue and untied me. Do with that what you will, but they helped the old man, got me straightened out, towed me in fact, because I ended up ripping a sail. And it's hard to describe. I'll have to send pictures and you'll have to post them up for your listeners, but it was a very dumb thing. I got a little cocky and ahead of myself and thought I really knew what I was doing, because I had a couple of good outings after a few little lessons from a marina, but apparently I hadn't paid attention enough. Wow. I love that you have, like, teenagers or young girls that are helped you out of that situation. Not so bad, really. But sure. I mean, how many people have done that where you think, yeah, I'm good. I know. I know what I'm doing. No problem. I got it. Someone tells you something, you learn something, and you say, yeah, I got it. I can't tell you how many times I'm sure I've done that in my life where I really thought I had. In fact, I'll give you a dumb Kate story. I was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was doing television news. It was one of my beginning gigs out of school, and it was really fun. The people were great in Albuquerque, and of course, it's the land of enchantment, and growing up in a city area, you have all this desert and all these cool things to do, hiking. And I had a friend who had, you know, was into horses, and it was really cheap to, at the time, to learn how to ride a horse correctly, like with the English style, you know, where you don't use your legs. You get on the saddle, and the saddle doesn't have a horn. And what do I know about horses? Seeing the Lipizzan horses at the Spectrum when I was a kid, right? So, and a family that was into thoroughbreds, but I had nothing to do with riding horses. I decided, yeah, you know what? This would be fun. It's cheap. It's fun. I mean, it'd be something different. So I learned everything. Just like he's talking about sailing, I learned how to clean the hooves of the horse and put the saddle on correctly, put the bit on. I thought I had it down. And then I would trot around. There was a guy giving me lessons, and you go into a trot, they call it, and then a canter, and you go around the ring, and there's other people in the ring who, of course, know what they're doing and grew up with horses. And I thought, boy, I just have this thing down. And I guess he thought I did too. So the next thing you know, I'm jumping horses. Wow, I'm jumping this horse. I'm, you know, just the commands. I've got this down. This chick from New Jersey. I got this thing down. Boom, we're going over the fences. And before you knew it, I did not know what I was doing. So the horse just stopped. We were jumping, trying to jump over this loose fence where it was just rails. And, of course, I went flying off the horse and really hurt my shoulder. I didn't break it or anything, but it was scary. And, you know, everybody insisted, oh, that's no big deal. Just get back up on the horse. And the next time I did, the horse just took off. And I was like the crazy person yelling, help, 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 help. So, yeah, I learned a lesson, too. When you think you know what you're doing, try again. All right, speaking of trying, this one from Skip, who says, Kate, I have a good story for you. I bragged to my girlfriend that I was just a great bowler. I bowled when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, we used to go bowling. We were in, like, a little bowling group. It was, you know, a league, and we'd go on Saturdays. But, of course, I hadn't bowled in a very long time. So we go to the lanes, and the first thing is I have no idea how to select a ball. I get one, and I think it's too heavy for me. And when I go up to the line, and I looked pretty decent, I still knew had a form, knew how to throw. I get up to the line, and what do? I fling the ball around, and it cuts across in the air over three different lanes. So, needless to say, I really got the attention of everybody at the bowling alley. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before. Certainly not unintentionally. And as I said, I will state it again. It wasn't on the lane. I didn't roll the ball and it kind of looped over the lane. It flew in the air as if I had a cannonball in my hand. Oh, it was horrible. I think it was such a wreck afterwards that I could barely hit any of the pins. I mean, I was hitting the alley. I was hitting one pin here and one pin there. And, it wasn't very impressive to my then-girlfriend, who is no longer my girlfriend, although I don't know that the bowling thing pushed me over the top. But I couldn't wait to leave that bowling alley. That's pretty funny. So, like, there's like a kind of a tie-in here with everybody with this, I know what I'm doing. Oh, that would have been, I hate to say this, but I would have loved to be at that bowling alley to see that ball fly through the air and people like mortified. You know, it was in the lanes, he said, so it wasn't backwards toward the people, but it was across a couple of lanes, so that would be so, so awkward. Hey, if you've done anything dumb, and I bet you have, join the club. Send me your dumb things. AmericaTonight.net. Thanks for listening.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.